as I wait, heart of God.
Hello, new life, and welcome to the Growth Group podcast, where we believe that spiritual growth happens better in circles than it does in rows. My name is David Haken, and I'm joined by Jonathan Markham, the pastor of New Life Christian Fellowship here in Pacifica, California, and we record these podcasts to help you go deeper with Sunday's teaching, both in your small group and in your individual walk with the Lord. We have returned to the contents of Jeff Vanderstelt's book, Saturate, looking now at our identity as missionaries. The last few weeks, we've been looking at our identity and how that identity informs everything that we do and how it's an identity given to us when we become followers of Jesus, his disciples. We first looked at the fact that we are his family. We've been adopted into his family as his sons and daughters, called to love one another as family and love the world around us as family. Next, we looked at our identity as a servant, following Jesus as the great servant, the great capital S servant, whom we are called to follow in his footsteps and serve the world as well. And now we're looking at the fact that we are missionaries. That's definitely a loaded word, isn't it? We're going to get into that fact in our first question, but
right.
I think that most Christians wouldn't immediately think of themselves as a missionary.
Yes, because they have a very limited vision of what a missionary is. I mean, we talked last week when you shared the fact that you are going to be working in the Philippines. That's the first thing that people use to define a missionary. Missionaries don't work here.
Right.
Missionaries go to some other part of the world with people that almost essentially who are less fortunate than we are in some way or another.
Right. If you're a missionary in a first world country, you're doing it wrong.
Right.
That's
just not what missionaries do. And we have this, we almost have this sort of Albert Schweitzer type image of what a missionary is. With this, I mean, that's a little over the top, I know. But sort of what the famous missionaries that that we learn about when we're younger. The Amy Carmichaels, the
Hudson Taylor, William Carey.
Yeah, those people who went to far distant lands to proclaim the gospel. That's what our vision of a missionary is. Or even if we those are the images that have informed our. But of course, that's not what a missionary is. Mm. Last year, our the sort of watchwords that we built our teaching for the year was that we are sent and sending others to be and make disciples wherever we go. A missionary is somebody who's been sent.
Yes.
Simple as that. You're on a mission. We know what our mission is, to make disciples. So every single believer is therefore a missionary. So if we start from there, how do we begin to understand what our daily lives?
Well, we've already covered a lot of the contents in our first question. I'll read it anyways, and maybe we'll think a bit about the scriptures that it points to. Redefining missionary. What is your first impression when you think of the word missionary? This week is designed to turn one's typical definition of that word on its head. As followers of Jesus, every one of us is a family member, a servant, and a missionary. Do you believe this? What ordinary believers were used in this way in the Old Testament and in the New? Ordinary believers God uses as missionaries. I like to recall how the early church was built and how it grew. Mm-hmm. You think about after Peter's Pentecost sermon, and the 3,000 people who were added to the church that day. And there's a couple of other significant moments, individual moments, events of mass conversion. But that, I'm convinced, doesn't account for the large growth of the church in that first century. What does account for it is just the slow and steady, faithful neighbor-to-neighbor, co-worker-to-co-worker sharing of one story.
Right.
And I think that the book of Acts makes that plain as well, where just reading from Acts chapter 8, it says that there arose on that day a great persecution against the church in Jerusalem, and all were scattered from Jerusalem. They were scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria. But then down in verse 4 it says, now those who were scattered, I think all the normal Christians, went about preaching the word.
Right. They they were passionate about Jesus.
Right. They had been personally transformed.
Right. Many of them, what we believe, had actually seen him in some form or another. And so they believed that was their job, to tell that one of their primary identities was those who tell people about what they've experienced in Jesus.
Right.
Now, as you so rightly say, there's nothing in the scripture which tells us that somebody told them that's what they were supposed to do. The majority of them. Obviously, when Jesus commissioned the disciples, he said, this is what you've got to do. But it feels like, although maybe it doesn't say that, it feels like they just did this. You wouldn't have been able to shut them up.
Yeah, and they were... the ruling authorities attempted to shut them
right.
up on a number of occasions.
Exactly.
In Acts chapter 4, Peter and John are imprisoned and they're brought before the council, and Peter defends himself saying, whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you rather than to God, you must judge. For we cannot but speak. We cannot but speak of what we have seen and heard.
Now, how many of us would that be said of?
I cannot but speak. I have to speak about Jesus.
I do know people who are like that. You know,
yeah. Wish
I was more like that. But there are people who you know, they can't stop talking about Jesus.
Yeah. In the book of Jeremiah, the prophet is described as having a burning in his chest,
yes.
which can only be relieved upon speaking the word that God had given him. That's great. Well, our second question addresses that very same God and his heart as a missionary God. God is a missionary before we are. The question is, as God's children, we are supposed to imitate our Father. We are missionaries because he was a missionary first. Look for God's missionary heart in Psalm 67 and 96 as you skim for the words, the peoples and the nations, or equivalent concepts. How do they demonstrate God's purposes in the Old Testament, how they extended beyond Israel? What about the New Testament? How was Jesus a missionary who took light into dark places? How should Jesus' violation of religious norms for the sake of the lost influence our identity and practice as a missionary? There's a lot going on in that question.
There is a lot going on in that question. It's a big question. We are missionaries because God so loved the world
that he
sent his son.
And how did we define missionaries earlier in this episode?
Sent
ones.
Jesus was God's sent one.
Mm-hmm.
Israel was God's sent people. Abraham was sent.
Right.
To,
the land of Canaan.
Mm-hmm. Moses was sent to deliver Israel out of... God sends people all over the place.
You spoke about Jonah this last week.
Right. Yeah. Well, Jonah, he was sent. He never got over it.
Very reluctantly.
he never got over the fact that he was sent. But, it means that God has a purpose for his people. Because there's a job for them to do, which he then sends them to do. But when he sends them to do it, he promises that he will be with them. He just doesn't say, fine, you're on your own, you've got a job to do, get on with it. The nature of the sending is the identity with the Holy Spirit, that we are empowered by the Holy Spirit to do the things he sent us to do.
That's a great transition into our third question. It talks about how we have been empowered by that Spirit. The question asks, are you nervous? Does the thought of sharing your faith and being a missionary make you nervous? If it does, you're not alone and could use a friendly reminder from our dear brother, Lars. God does not call the equipped, he equips the called. What does Acts 1:8 teach is the equipping purpose of the Spirit dwelling inside of you? How does the fact that you have the Spirit of the missionary God who loves the lost more than you do and is working in their heart and speaking through your words embolden your efforts to share your faith in your personal mission field?
I'm not sure that that's an original Lars Green, but...
He says it so often, though. I unashamedly ascribe that to him.
Oh, yes. I mean, I heard somebody say once, the first time you have to ascribe it to the original, second time you can be a little less, and the third time you can own it for yourself. Mm. So I think Lars has got more than... is more than entitled to claim that for himself. But we are called to do these things, and it is scary. I mean, there's no question or doubt about the fact that it's scary. That's why we say practice telling your story. That's why we say you learn your story. But I've said this many times. If God wanted to do so, I could read the phone book. And he could bring people to himself, because it says, "Don't." And I can't for the life of me. You can probably remember David exactly where it comes, but he says, "Don't worry what you'll say. I'll put words into your mouth."
Right. Yeah. That's when Jesus' disciples are warned of their potential being drawn up before governors and put on trial. Certainly a scary.
And he says, "Don't worry. I'll give you the words to say." And ultimately, it doesn't. God can use whatever words He puts in our mouths, and so.
I think it's really encouraging as well. Just the way that the question is written, God loves this person that I am evangelizing, that I'm speaking to about Christ. He loves that person more than I do.
Right.
He wants them to be saved more than I do. He's certainly more powerful than I am to accomplish that task. Therefore. How am I to believe that he will not support me in this moment?
Right. And the truth is that we can't do any of those things. God opens people's hearts. God prompts them to respond. God does all of those things. All we do is go through the things that he tells us to do. He empowers, he uses, and that's why it's so exciting in many ways. That the Holy Spirit chooses to partner with us. God chooses to partner with us and use us when he doesn't need to.
I love the truth out of 2 Corinthians 5, which is just a mountaintop of theology in that chapter. But in verse 20, it says, "Therefore, we are ambassadors of Christ." And what do we do as ambassadors? God is making his appeal through us. Mm. So when we act as an ambassador and appeal, it says, later in the verse, we implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. That's what we're doing. We're saying, be reconciled to God. What is really happening when we say that? God is making his appeal through us. Mm. God is the one who is speaking. And if there is any response,
it's because God prompts it.
Yes. All right, well, we ought to go on to our fourth and last question for this week. Mercifully, it's titled, Get Practical. If you were asked, to whom has God sent you on mission? Or, what is your defined mission field? How would you answer? Once you've tackled the who, focus on the how. Remember, mission happens in the normal, everyday stuff of life. Write down some things you can do this week to display and declare the gospel to a few specific people in your community, your mission field.
Yeah, this is really the show and tell question. There's that wonderful time when you go to school and you can show them something.
You bring your turtle and show people your turtle.
And then you can tell them how much you love your turtle and how you feed your turtle and all of those sorts of wonderful things. And I think the fact that you show and then tell is really important because, you know, it makes so much more impact to a 5-year-old who sees a turtle and then hears about it than if you just stand up and talk about a turtle. Mm-hmm. And I think that is so much so true. And we've said this multiple times in the course of these podcasts that, you know, God came to live in us. And when we make relationships, when we build trusting relationships with people, people see that, and then we can say that.
Right.
And so it's...
we earn a hearing.
Everybody we come in contact with. I mean, if you're looking for opportunities, and they don't have to be a big deal. They don't have to be big, sort of, okay, so suddenly somebody says, okay, I need to know about Jesus.
Right,
when you tell,
right. They won't always look like divine appointments.
No, they don't. I mean, for instance, I mean, I know I've talked about this many times, but I was in the locker room in the gym recently, and I was talking to a guy who I've known, you know, sort of very passingly, and he suddenly asked me what I do. And I ask him, and he starts asking about the church. Then a guy over the other side, who I've never spoken to in my life, turns around and said, can you pray for me?
Wow.
Now, I didn't say, okay, only if I can tell you the four spiritual laws first.
I think Lee Strobel calls that kind of thing ricochet evangelism.
Right.
Where you're talking to someone and your words ricochet off of them and someone else hears
right.
them.
And, you know, I didn't give the whole gospel or anything. I just said, yes, I'd pray for him.
Mm.
But those are when I next see him, I can quite justifiably ask how he's doing or something like that. And then, you know, you asked me to pray for you last time I prayed for you. Is there anything particularly you want me to pray about? Mm. I can use those opportunities. Or I could, but you don't have to be pushy. You don't have to be clever. You just have to keep your eyes open and your ears open. And that's what it means to be on mission. When you're on mission, I think the major qualifications for being on mission is eyes open, ears open.
Mm.
For opportunities to say something.
To represent God.
To represent God.
And he'll give you the power to do
and
so to, in the moment.
And to be your identity.
Mm-hmm. Yep, that's perfect. It lines up with exactly Jeff's purpose in these 3 weeks, focusing
right.
on our identity, grounded in the work that Christ has done for us. All right, well, that's wrapping up our episode for this week, and next week we'll dive back into Jeff Vandersell's series called Saturate. Yep. Look forward to seeing you then.
As I wait, heart of God, satisfy and sustain.